Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Junkies come to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV in Richmond. Appreciate you checking us out on 910 The Fan or 105.1 FM. We're streaming live on the Odyssey app. That's a free app. You can take us on the go wherever you are with that Odyssey app. And you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber. Just visit cropmetcalf.com, and you can join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Jason Bishop.
Yep.
On another Victory Monday, brought to you by Chenega Miles, the 2024 Top Workplace. Visit careerswithmios.com. Looking ahead towards the playoffs a little bit. Looks like 100% they get in, right? They're crazy, wacky scenarios where they could miss, but they're likely to be in the playoffs, and they're likely to face the Eagles, depending on how things play out here with the Packers down the stretch, depending on how things play out with the Washington Commanders. Like, the five seed set, that's either going to be Minnesota or Detroit, right?
Yeah.
And your division winners are set.
Yep.
Well, pretty much. I mean, there's still an outside chance Washington could win the division.
Well, division winners aren't set. Yeah, that's the seedings are set.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, the seedings.
Yep.
So we're talking about what they could do. Shouldn't they make the playoffs? And I think they've got a chance to beat anyone. I put it up as the Scotty's Vodka poll of the day. You can vote at Junks Radio. Did your perspective change on what the Commanders can do in the playoffs? There are two options. Yes, they can beat anyone, or no, they're lucky to get in. I know our biggest troll, shout out to our guy Juan in Rockville, said it shouldn't be a Victory Monday. It should be an asterisk Victory Monday.
Because Juan was at the holiday show, wasn't he?
No, that's Dennis.
Oh,
they,
okay.
They hang out together.
Oh, okay.
Right. I don't even know if they hang out together, but I chat with both of them.
Oh, I thought that was him.
They're both good guys. No, no.
Yeah.
It's Dennis.
I knew they were Rockville boys.
Look, Jalen Hurts being out was a big deal. There's no question about it. It changed
massive.
The dynamic of the game.
Yes.
But does Jalen Hurts play defense? Last I checked, he doesn't play defense. And maybe I was botching what they did to the Ravens. They gave up 19 points to the Ravens. Well, they only gave up 13 to the Steelers. Just go through their games. Mm-hmm. They don't give up many points, and they're number one in yardage. That is a legit defense.
Yeah.
And yes, they had a couple of injuries, but it wasn't like the Detroit Lions where they're missing like four, five, six starters.
No, they had a, specifically in the fourth quarter, they had a really good day against the Eagles defense. They were struggling up until that point. But the Jalen Hurts factor is huge because instead of the Eagles kicking field goals under Pickett and they're not converting third downs, they were 3 for 16. Most of those were under Pickett. Hurts would have led them to touchdowns. So they just
probably
they wouldn't have had the chance to come back and score and take the lead like they did late in the game, in
Maybe
my
not.
Opinion.
Yeah.
Because Hurts is a whole new dimension. He already had 41 rushing yards before he got hurt. He was probably going to have close to 100, and they would have scored touchdowns instead of having to kick field goals.
But you have to credit Washington for what they did.
Yep.
Jaden Daniels led them on a game-winning touchdown drive.
Yeah, I agree.
So, sure, the Devontae Smith drop was huge.
Mm-hmm.
If he catches it, they likely win the game.
Mm-hmm.
But Jaden Daniels still had to make plays to get them in position to win the game.
And
he still
did.
Had to complete that ball to McLaurin for a first down. Still had to complete the touchdown pass to Jamison Crowder as time was winding down.
That is correct.
They basically had two plays.
Yep.
They scored a touchdown on that first play.
And they took advantage of it.
You know, and then defensively, it doesn't look great when you give up 33 points, but they made enough plays, and overall in the season, they've got a top 10 defense, which is stunning. All right, let's touch the people. Let's go to our pal Marcus in College Park. Marcus, you're on with the Junkies. What do you think?
Good morning, fellas. Yeah, my attitude has completely changed about the playoffs. What's something that's being largely ignored is the fatigue factor that Daniels running all over the place brings to the game. They're a dangerous fourth quarter team for that very reason. You could see the life being sucked out of the Philadelphia defense in that fourth quarter, and that's chasing that guy around all day. I was sort of against him running so much, but seeing the way he slides, he doesn't make poor decisions when he's running the ball. That's a major factor. And, you know, after 30 years of unanimous disappointment practically, it's okay for us to be fired up about the playoffs in Washington finally. Look at the possibilities. The Jets and Giants, they're out. The Tampa Bay playing Miami, out. You still have some possibilities left with Pittsburgh and Philadelphia, or say San Diego and L.A. But let's dream on. How about Baltimore and Washington in the Super Bowl? It can happen if it can happen. Both these teams are going to be in the playoffs, and Jackson versus Daniels would be an iconic Super Bowl.
That'd be pretty amazing.
Have fun today, fellas.
All right,
thanks,
buddy.
Pal. Merry Christmas.
Thank you, bro.
Our Junkies poll of the day brought to you by Scotty's Vodka, Maryland made, super smooth, loved throughout the DMV. So far, 67% believe they can
beat
anyone.
Anybody.
Let's go to Charles in D.C. Charles, you're on with the Junkies. Merry Christmas.
Oh, what's up, man? It's been a while. How y'all doing?
Merry Christmas to you, bro.
Merry Christmas, man. But, you know, I'm going to say this about this franchise, this team. It is, since Dan Snyder has left, there's new hope, there's new joy.
Yep.
But I honestly think they're a year or two away. I think that's the coach says that they're getting there, but not there yet.
Mm-hmm.
I think when they get to the playoffs, I think they can maybe sneak a win. But I think it's going to be one and done, but they have a lot of building things. They got the blocks in place. I think Dan Quinn is the good coach that he wanted to be here. I think this team can do good things in the future. So I believe that they are at least a couple of years away to becoming where the Eagles are right now. That's why I have this hope to be here, because I think I don't think they're just ready. They're on the tip of it. But I think a year or two away, then we could be talking about not just having deep runs in the postseason, but actually winning championships.
Look, they just knocked off the Eagles, but it's going to be a tough matchup.
Yeah.
The Eagles can run the football against them. In the first game against them, they ran for 228 yards. And let me see what the total was.
Barkley had about 200 combined yards. He had a massive game, if not more.
Look, I think John Kine brought up a great point. Second half, that's a different game plan in the second half, because you know you're facing Kenny Pickett,
mm-hmm.
and you can load up to stop
Barkley.
Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
But still, you know, the Eagles still ran for a good amount of yards yesterday. They ran for a total of...
They took advantage of
211 yards.
Yes.
So in both games, they've run for over 200 yards against this Washington defense.
Yeah. And Barkley had 150 of them yesterday, even though second through the fourth quarter, he was held to, I don't know, 40 or 50 yards combined. But they took advantage of that.
Yeah.
That's what you had to do. Washington had to take advantage of playing against Pickett, not Hurts, and they did take advantage of it. Even though they were turning the ball over, they still took advantage of short fields, and when they needed to score touchdowns in the fourth quarter, they did. So you got to give them props. A win's a win. I mean, that's the way you have to look at it. Doesn't matter how you do it. S happens during games. Guys get hurt. Penalties happen. Turnovers happen. You just have to take advantage of what teams give you. That's the way I look at it.
The 10 previous weeks, teams hadn't done what Washington just did. The Eagles had a 10-game winning streak.
Correct.
And I get it. Jalen Hurts was out.
Mm-hmm.
it definitely helped you out strategically.
But you got to take advantage of it when you're playing against the backup quarterback.
Still got to make plays. Let's go to Tobias in D.C. Merry Christmas, Tobias.
Hey, Merry Christmas. Playoffs? You talking playoffs?
We are.
Yeah. Yeah. We can beat anybody. We ready for whoever's next. Man, as being a lifelong fan of this, man, it just feels beautiful, man. The Eagles, we ended their streak, and we ready, man. We rolling. Dan Quinn got everything rolling. Let's go. Let's go, Washington.
What was your reaction when Jaden threw the touchdown to Crowder?
Hey, I'm telling you, man, I went crazy. I went crazy. I watched the game from beginning to end. And I'm actually at work right now, and I work with electric scooters, and the guy just told me, hey, man, I got something for you. I got this cowboy hat and gloves on. Because, of course, I'm Commanders down out here right now. You know what I mean? And it's the city early in the morning, man. It's just love, man. Victory Monday.
Thank you, Tobias. Merry Christmas. 800-636-1067 if you want to chime in. I kind of feel like if they get in the playoffs, which they should, they can pull off a win. I don't see this as a team they could go on a run. Like, we had the one caller who keeps, talking
Dave,
to you mostly,
yeah,
saying that they're going to go to the Super Bowl. I think that would be an absolute reach. I don't know how to stack up against – I don't have a good feel on, like, the Packers.
Packers get
nobody wants
you
to really buy into the Vikings, and I'm kind of in that crowd, too, because of the Sam Darnold factor. But 13-2.
I know.
They could end up being the one seed.
And they're pretty good. I mean, they got a nice balanced offense. So they got two stud receivers. They got a good back. But Darnold's been unbelievable. He really has.
And their defense is really good, led by Flores, who might get another chance at a job.
They come after you.
As a head coach.
But I look, could you go to Philly and win? Of course. Of course you could. Can you go to Philly and then go to Detroit and win? And then, you know, possibly play Minnesota. I mean, a lot of stuff can happen. But I think Commanders fans should just be ecstatic that you've got 10 wins and the chances you're going to the playoffs are pretty much locked, unless there's some sort of a disaster in the last couple weeks. It's just been an unbelievable turnaround for this team. They had 4 wins last year, and they were god-awful pretty much on both sides of the ball.
Let's go to Upper Marlboro. Rodney, you're on with the Junkies. What's up, Rodney?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I guess I pretty much lost my voice yelling yesterday at the game.
were you at the game?
No, I was watching the game. But, yeah, my perspective hasn't changed. I think we could always play with anybody the way we've been playing. But, I mean, we have to clean up the mess. The penalties keep going up every week. And you got to address the elephant in the room. Our offensive line has to do better blocking for Robinson and the running game. They're doing well with the pass, but with the blocking for Robinson, he can't run if there's no hole for him to run in. And so, you know, that's all I have to say pretty much. I think it was a great win.
Oh, yeah, it was a huge win.
Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, Roddy.
I'm curious. So, Eckler, I believe, when he went on that IR, would have been eligible to play in the last week of the
week
season.
Week 18, yeah.
But you're right. Maybe you hold him out if you get into, you know, lock it up for the playoffs. Yeah, give him another week of rest. He's an X factor.
Well, I think that, look, and that Dallas game might not mean anything.
Right.
If Washington already locks up a playoff spot this week and they're locked into that seventh spot, why would you play anybody? I mean, I wouldn't play Daniels. I wouldn't play Robinson. I wouldn't play Eckler. I wouldn't play any of these guys. So, you know, treat it like a preseason game. But, I think if Eckler's ready to go, he's definitely going to be in there. I don't think they're going to hold him out for the playoffs.
But think about it. They scored 36 points against this number one defense with the 5 turnovers, without Austin Eckler, and I know this isn't a huge factor, but without Noah Brown.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a fully loaded offense. And if you want to think about the future, we all know they're going to upgrade at wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
This is Jaden Daniels without maximum help.
Correct. I mean, look at all the weapons that the Eagles can throw out at you. And then look at what you've got with Washington. McLaurin's legit, but those other guys are just kind of bit players.
Jaden Daniels doesn't have Saquon Barkley. He doesn't have A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith.
Correct. So those guys played well yesterday.
And he doesn't have the offensive line.
But they're still just bit players. So, yes, yeah, they're going to upgrade offensively, especially at receiver.
Coming up next, we've got our colleague check-in as we hit the skins, brought to you by Don't Sleep Energy. Need to hit the skins right now? Grab a Don't Sleep Energy shot. Need to stay ready all day just in case? Sip on a refreshing 12-ounce can. You can grab both right now at don'tsleepenergy.com. Use the promo code JUNKIES for 10% off. And remember, don't sleep makes you great. We'll continue the conversation with Grant Paulson next.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Deck your home with Blinds.com. DIY or let us install. Free design consultation. Plus free samples and free shipping.
Ho, ho, ho! Blinds.com invented a better way to buy custom high-quality window treatments with no showroom markups or waiting around for quotes from pushy salespeople, saving you time and money for the holidays with upfront pricing right on our website.
Go right now to Blinds.com. Satisfaction guaranteed.
Satisfaction guaranteed.
Deck your home this holiday season with Blinds.com. Save up to 40% on select styles, plus a free professional measure. Blinds.com.
Blinds.com.
Rules and restrictions may apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
From the Junkies. Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 on a Victory Monday, brought to you by Chenega Miles, the 2024 top workplace. Visit careerswithmios.com. Valdez, play the music. Got to play it throughout the show. Been a long time since we've been able to talk about a 10-win team, let alone a 10-5 team. That goes back to 1991 for Washington. Join us right now for a colleague check-in to talk a little bit more about it. Host of the Grant Danny Show on 106.7 The Fan. You can listen to later today is our pal Grant Paulson. What's up, GP?
How are you, fellas? Good morning.
GP, what's up, buddy?
I saw your tweet, and I just kind of retweeted it about where Washington can finish, depending on what happens here tonight, what happens here the last 2 weeks with the Washington Commanders. But it's not a foregone conclusion that they're the 7 seed, right?
No, it's not. It's actually looking decent, but they could potentially be the 6th seed if they could beat Atlanta this coming weekend now, Sunday Night Football, 6 days away, because the Packers, who are likely to dominate the Saints tonight, they're massive favorites.
Yep.
14.5 points. New Orleans is without everybody, just about.
Yep.
But next week, the Packers play the Vikings.
Mm-hmm. And so you look at that matchup, that's a 13-win team that's better than them probably on paper. They'll be underdogs in that game. If Washington, a 4.5-point favorite at home, basically if what's supposed to happen happens, they would go into a Week 18 game against the Cowboys, controlling their own destiny to be the sixth seed, which would mean you don't have to go to Philly or to Minnesota, and you would get potentially Atlanta or the Rams, which is a game changer.
Yep, it's a big difference. There's so many big games here in the next couple weeks for many different teams, many different reasons. All right, just give us your thoughts on, I mean, there were so many big plays yesterday, so many key moments.
What did you think about the 4th-and-11 call? Because that was a huge play and decision.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of ridiculous in the moment, to be completely honest with you. And look, anybody who listens to our show knows I am team 4th down and go. I mean, I just think minus territory, that's the way the league is trending on 4th and short and should be. I think with Jaden Daniels, who is a lot like Lamar Jackson in the sense that if you look at Baltimore over the years, 4th and 1, 4th and 2 or fewer, it's close to automatic. I mean, it's as close as it's going to get with read option. It's just so hard for teams to defend both a heavy plunging running back and a quarterback who can keep the ball and skirt around the edge. So I would go for 4th downs all the time. But 4th and 11 in that situation didn't make a lot of sense to me, only because I think if you punt the ball there with Kenny Pickett at quarterback, you make the Eagles go 90 yards. Now, it's just a higher percentage than maybe getting a 4th and 11. But they got Jaden Daniels, man, and he can make plays, and he certainly did. That was an unbelievable moment where, you know, watching it from the press box, the play they called was dead. I mean, a lot of the times I think, you know, their passing game especially, I don't know if Kingsbury gets enough credit for scheme. I think they get guys open and they don't have great receivers. And so a lot of the times you're seeing these big plays and they're hitting open receivers. But on that particular play, it was dead on arrival. There's nobody. And from my view, you're going, oh, my God, this play is a wash. Mm-hmm. And then Daniels just kind of comes through bodies like, you know, a surfer through a wave and then makes a couple guys miss at the sticks and keeps on running. That was one of those, the call was maybe fine but didn't work. The play was dead, and Daniels made them right.
Yep. Yeah, the safety, can't remember what safety it was for the Eagles. Looked like he had a shot at him a couple yards short of the first down, but he kind of slowed up. I don't know if he thought that Daniels was going to slide there or what, but he kind of slowed up. So he kind of allowed Jaden to get an extra 2 or 3 yards. But I don't think that there's any other coach in the league that would go for 4th and 11. It's one thing
maybe
if you're
Dan Campbell.
Well, maybe, but even in that situation, I'm not so sure. But if
I was just trying to set up Grant, I like his Dan Campbell.
Yeah. If it's one thing, there's 5 minutes left in the game and you're down by a couple scores, but it's end of the third quarter and you're down by a couple scores. It's not like you're completely out of the game yet. It's just really ballsy to go for a 4th and 11 there.
Well, I just want to thank JP, man. I've always loved that guy, brother. You know I go for 4th downs, man. We got a culture here, guys. We're going to do it together, brother.
But, yes, I agree. I thought that was Dan Quinn got off the bus, I think, yesterday from the Gaylord at the stadium and decided, I got kicker problems, and I'm trying to keep up with the best team in the conference, maybe, and we're going to go for 4th downs. They went for one earlier in the half, and you kind of knew, okay, we're at a point now. I think, remember the first series of the game in minor territory, they went for a 4th and 1.
Yeah, they went 4 and out, yeah.
Exactly, but I love that call, to be honest with you. But it was pretty clear to me philosophically, like that was kind of the idea. But 4th and 11, you know, it might have just been, okay, here's the ball game, here's our best shot. Like, we're not giving them the ball back. Maybe it's also, frankly, an indictment on Pickett and the Eagles' offense where you feel like you could give them the ball there and it's not a guarantee that they're going to get points. Because one of the things that's being slept on, and I'm sure you guys have talked about this at some point today, but, you know, Saquon Barkley went for 109 yards in the first quarter. Mm-hmm. From the second quarter on, they basically said, all right, Kenny Pickett's at quarterback.
Beat us.
We're not losing to Saquon Barkley. Yep. And so he ran 20 times for 43 yards from the end of the first quarter to the end of the game. Mm-hmm. I mean, they completely bottled him up, and I think they just didn't really respect the Eagles' offense that much from that point forward, it seemed like.
Pickett also didn't get help. Pickett actually could have won the game. Drop from Devontae Smith, but he had the Barkley drop. He had a drop from A.J. Brown. Like, he actually put them in position to win the game. Another underrated thing, which a caller brought up, and then I went back and looked at it, the Commanders had great field position on most of their drives. Luke McCaffrey did a good job. And their kicker, I mean, I'm so used to kickers just blasting it to the back of the end zone or back of the end zone.
Yeah.
Their kicker, I mean, Washington starting at the 40, the 43, even the last drive, and it was helped by a penalty. They started on their 43.
Yeah, their first two drives, their average field position was about the midfield stripe. Mm-hmm. And they didn't have anything to show for it, obviously. In fact, that was maybe my biggest takeaway of yesterday, honestly. And the reason why, you know, I think it was my favorite Daniels performance. It was maybe my favorite offensive performance, in addition to the fact that it came against the number one defense, and the numbers in the end, five touchdowns, whatever, they are what they are. But that was a game that started horribly for them on offense. You know, they had 8 plays and 8 yards, and Brian Robinson had lost 2 fumbles on his first 6 carries for a total of 9 yards. And Daniels, I mean, people will forget, was off, right? I mean, in the first few throws, like, not accurate. It just seemed like it was going to be a blowout loss. Now, obviously, the Hurts injury changed everything, but to be down 14-0 and the Eagles had the ball. Now, the Frankie Louvu interception completely changed the game to get them back within a possession. Mm-hmm. But I think that was probably, for me, what I liked so much about yesterday is, for the most part this season, you know, when they've won, they've come out and they've just looked sharp. They've been good. A lot of their wins were blowouts against bad teams. This was this is ugly. This could be a blowout loss, and it went the other way. But I completely agree with you on Pickett, too. I thought he actually inevitably did make a few plays, and he got let down by his guys.
Yeah, not many people are talking about that interception that got them back in the game because,
huge.
I mean, it was deep in Philly's territory. I mean, it was just a huge momentum shifter. Again, in the second half, like you said, Washington's defense said, all right, Kenny Pickett, you're going to beat us? All right, do it. We're not letting Barkley go for another, you know, 75 yards in the second half. And they were able to hold them to field goals, 4 of them in the second half, as opposed to Washington scoring touchdowns, which was the biggest difference. They outscored them 22-6 in the fourth. Jalen Hurts is in there. That's a different story because they would score touchdowns on a couple of those possessions instead of just kicking field goals.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think 2 things can be true, right? I think I saw a lot of, like, Commanders fans saying yesterday, like, I don't want to hear that if Jalen Hurts played, this game would have been different. Well,
it would have been a factor, yes.
Yeah, you don't want to hear reality. But right. It also doesn't matter, right? He wasn't there.
You got to take advantage of it, right?
Absolutely. And they did. And they're 10-5, and they did it in dramatic fashion. I mean, they came back from down 13 in the fourth quarter, something they hadn't done. I think I saw a stat yesterday. It was something like 98 straight games for them when they were down by 13 in the fourth quarter that late in the game they had lost. I mean, it still just doesn't really happen. If you're the Eagles, I think you're also wondering what the heck happened defensively. I mean, this was the number one defense in the NFL, and they were giving up huge chunks. Now, Daniels deserves and gets a ton of credit. I thought he was spectacular, not only with his feet, but I mean, the touchdown throw he made to McLaurin yesterday was one of the best throws he's made all year. If you look at where he released the ball, throwing it outside over the correct shoulder, McLaurin made even a better catch than that. That's a catch of the year candidate for Washington in terms of the ball tracking ability. But if you're the Eagles, you're the number one defense in the league, and you're protecting almost a 2-touchdown lead in the fourth quarter. They have a score where they have 12 on the field, and Alamide frickin' Zaccheaus is still 15 yards away from any defender, and then jukes 2 guys to get into the end zone. They had another touchdown I saw Sirianni say in the presser where they had 10 on the field, apparently. Like, I don't know what was going on there, but
that
would be a tough way to wake up this morning. Because remember, the Eagles were playing for the 1 seed.
Yep.
Like, they now have a 5% chance at a bye and control of their own destiny. So it's not like they were just playing to win the division and have to wait a week. I mean, that was a significant game for them in their playoff hopes, and they let it slip away.
Talking to Grant Paulson, who you can listen to with our pal Danny coming up at 2 o'clock right here on 106.7 The Fan. Let's talk about some concerns, though, moving forward. I just went back and looked against the Saints. The running game outside of Jaden Daniels, 24 carries, 71 yards. Against the Eagles, 15 carries, 32 yards. How concerning is the lack of the running game the last couple of weeks?
Well, I think it's one of their biggest issues right now, and I would say very concerning. I gave them a mulligan against New Orleans because they didn't have Tyler Biadasz at center, who's been terrific this year, and they were starting Michael Dieter backup. This was not that, though. This was just, they got manhandled up front. Now, the Eagles, if you wanted to, you know, give them another excuse, you could say they're probably not playing the Eagles front right in the playoffs, certainly.
Although they might.
they may very well. But week in and week out, you know, if they were to play two or three playoff games or something and go on some wacky run, like, by and large, you're playing lesser opponents. So this is as tough a team to run the ball against as there's going to be. And we saw in the first game they couldn't run the ball either. So it's a bad matchup in that way, it would appear. But, yeah, it's a problem. I mean, if they're not able to run the ball, then you've got to go to quick game. Like, what happened yesterday, as amazing as it was by nature not sustainable, right? Like, you can't go down big. You're not going to come back in a frenzied way and win these games in a crazy fashion, more often than not. You know, most of the time you get the ball back down six with less than 4 minutes to go, and you throw an interception – you don't still win that football game. Like, right, a lot of things happen that normally don't, right?
Right.
So, yep. Yeah, I'm with you. I think, you know, the matchup's going to be important, ideally, if they got a team that wasn't as good stopping the run. But the reason it's so important for them is, and Jaden Daniels has made it okay because he's been their leading rusher for 2 weeks, but they got to stay ahead of the sticks. You know, the difference, and Jaden Daniels has talked about this, Cliff's talked about this, the difference for this offense, when they are in third and manageable like they were for the second part of yesterday when they stayed on the field, and then that sets up either a conversion or a fourth and short that they can go for, and when they're behind the chains, it's just astronomical because they are so dependent on Daniels' legs, you know, and generally speaking, you know, on fourth and 11 or third and long, which he ripped off that long draw, you know, that becomes no longer a factor. It's him throwing the football. So I think it's the biggest concern. It's the biggest thing they got to figure out, other than maybe the kicking situation, which I just still don't have a lot of trust in. Remember, going into yesterday, if you take away when they got bailed out at the end of the third quarter against the Saints and got to re-kick, they were one for their last five in field goal attempts, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, some of these games down the stretch are going to come down to kicking, and I don't know how anyone could be confident right now in that situation.
I said earlier, I kind of give Lattimore a pass for yesterday because, you know, he's got to chase A.J. Brown all over the field. Now, look, A.J. Brown got his. He was targeted 15 times. He got 8 or 9 catches, scored a touchdown. A.J. Brown is just pretty much uncoverable inside the 10 when he runs that quick slant. I mean, I don't know if there's many DBs that can cover him at all. But, you know, he did have the back-to-back PIs, and then he had a third. But I think for the most part, he's certainly an upgrade. Now, here's the concern. He leaves the game with another hammy. I assume it's the same one. How do you think he played, first of all? And then are you concerned about the hamstring?
Well, I'm more bothered by the hamstring than I am his performance, to kind of go there first, right? Like, you need that guy on the field.
Yep.
Because
yep.
When he left the field, Benjamin St. Juice came on and had to cover A.J. Brown. And on a fourth and passing, mm-hmm. they, you know, fourth and seven, I think it was,
right,
they got it pretty easily because he was trailing A.J. Brown by several yards and then didn't make a tackle shy of the sticks that Lattimore had made earlier in the game to end a drive. Look, he played poorly. I mean, I don't think there's any debate about that. He gave up 68 yards on 3 PIs. He gave up another 70-plus covering him. But to your point, it's a really tough assignment.
Yeah.
Like, the hope there is, instead of the combined 140, maybe it's 75, 80 yards, right?
Yep.
But it's not like he's supposed to be perfect. Can you make plays to equal out some of what you're allowing? To me, I think of it, Bish, like baseball, where I know guys are going to strike out, right? Are you going to hit bombs too?
Yep.
And if you strike out 200 times or whatever and you hit 35 home runs, I'll live with it. He made a huge stop, if you remember, on like a 3rd and 5, short of the 6, where they had to punt because he made a great open field tackle. And he pried the ball out of A.J. Brown's hands on one of the final drives on the sideline. That was a huge play as well. So he probably needed another, like, 2 big plays to equal out the balance sheet. And because he didn't make them, you know, it's a negative day. but it's his second game in the scheme. You're playing against, to your point, a top five wide receiver in the NFL, in my opinion, bar none. So you're going to have days like that. I'm more concerned about the hammy and just making sure he's on the field, because most weeks you're not playing A.J. Brown. Like last week, the Saints didn't have anybody that threatened him. They didn't target the guy. This coming week against Atlanta, Drake London's okay, but Drake London does not have, you know, he's a 7 if A.J. Brown's a 10. So it's just more favorable matchups about 90% of weeks, I would say.
Yeah, Drake London, he did something to his hamstring yesterday, too. He left the game, so I'm not sure if he'll go. So just kind of going forward to the Falcon game, I didn't watch much. I just saw highlights of the Falcons-Giants. The Giants have just given up. They're just an awful roster, an awful organization. So that was
they're gross.
Yeah, I mean, so I wasn't surprised that Atlanta dominated them. I guess Penix played pretty well. The interception shouldn't have been his fault because Kyle Pitts kind of bobbled it and should have been a fumble. That's what I call those. But your thoughts of Washington against Atlanta on Sunday night?
Yeah, I went back just last night and watched a condensed game for the Falcons. Penix was very accurate and pretty in control. His first two passes of the game, I think, were actually dropped. Funny enough, of his career as a first-time starter. So pretty easily could have had a pretty decent stat line. Never really threatened in terms of the end zone. They ran the ball really well in the red zone. Bijan had two touchdowns. And defensively, they had two pick sixes. So what I would say about Penix is impressive, as much as I liked him. It was a pretty much a free and easy game, right? I mean, it was like pitching with a five-run lead the entire time. If they have to go get yards and points, and if they're down 10-3 and 13-7, there's more pressure. And so I think that's what Washington's going to have to do, is just put them in some unideal situations. The fact that they stopped Barkley like they did actually gives me some hope, because the Falcons are an excellent running team with Robinson. When he goes off the field, as you guys know, Tyler Algier comes on, and he is a handful as well. And the Commanders have just been so bad, largely, at stopping these teams that run the ball really well. I've kind of circled this game for several weeks as one that would be problematic defensively, but I wouldn't be surprised, depending on Drake London's status especially. The Falcons' passing game has been so ineffective at making chunk plays down the field. If they did something similar to what they did in the second half, against the Eagles, where I think Penix is a much more apt passer than Pickett, but if you said, okay, that's how you're going to have to beat us, and they just stacked the box and didn't let Bijan run. But to me, that's going to be the whole key, is slowing them down in that area and protecting the football, which Daniels has by and large done a really good job of. I think one thing we're not going to be talking about this week that needs to be mentioned at some point, because it was a tremendous performance and a great win, but he threw two bad interceptions, and he hasn't had a single game all year where he threw two bad picks, middle of the field late like he did, or too high. And if you look at the numbers, I think it's now 6 interceptions in the last 4 games, something like that, for a guy that wasn't throwing any picks early in the year. So he's been so good all season at not putting the ball in harm's way. And in these games like Atlanta, where you're going to open probably a 3.5-4 point favorite, certainly in a playoff game, that's going to be the difference between having a chance to let him steal a game as a playmaker and maybe being on the outside looking in the fourth quarter.
All right, GP, we got to run, man. Good stuff. Have a great show coming up at 2 o'clock.
Thanks, guys. See you.
Yep. It's Grant Paulson. Listen to him with our pal Danny on the Grant Danny Show coming up at 2 o'clock right here on The Fan. Time now for the injury report presented by the Centers for Advanced Orthopedics. Marcus Lattimore, of course, debuted last week against the Saints. They didn't throw his way yesterday, late in the Commanders' win over the Eagles. He left the game with a hamstring injury, didn't return. After the game, Dan Quinn had this to say about Lattimore's
injury. I don't have an update from an injury standpoint. Both he and Jordan McGee and Andrew Wiley all were injured in the game, so I don't have an update there.
Injury report presented by Centers for Advanced Orthopedics. More physicians, more locations, more advanced care centered around one thing. You visit CFAOrtho.com. We talked to John Kime about this earlier. He had a hamstring injury, so to hear that he has this flare up on him again, it is concerning.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is. Yep. We spent weeks wondering, well, when is Lattimore going to play? When's Lattimore going to play? I mean, Cakes expected Lattimore to play right after the trade,
right,
figuring that he was feigning an injury in New Orleans because that team was not going anywhere. Well, turns out he actually has a real hamstring injury.
Yeah,
Case got that wrong. By the way, underreported on this show.
What?
cakes when he goes to games for the locals.
They win.
They win. Somehow he's a good luck charm. To two Wizards games where they've won,
yep.
And that is almost impossible. And then he went to the game yesterday, and the Commanders pull out a win.
Yeah. Was he? Where was he sitting? Do you know? Was
he sat in the president's suite.
Oh, he was in the suite. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the Lattimore thing is absolutely a concern, especially when you're coming down the stretch here and you need him against teams that have really good receivers like Atlanta does and like Dallas does. I mean, Dallas has been eliminated, so who knows if CeeDee Lamb even plays in that game in a couple weeks. He's got a shoulder problem. But if he does, that would be Lattimore's guy, and then going to the playoffs, you certainly need him. So, yeah, I would be concerned.
By the way, so Cakes 3-0 going to games here in recent weeks,
mm-hmm.
including the Commanders and the Wizards. I believe he went to the Wizards
Denver.
Two straight weeks.
Denver game, yeah.
Yeah, they beat Denver, and then the game that we went to, who did they beat? Charlotte.
Charlotte.
All right, that wasn't a huge win, but
LaMelo 3-for-18 right. from threes.
I went to the Caps game on Friday night.
That's right.
W.
That's right. Beat the Carolina Hurricanes. Yep.
That was, Jason asked me how I did after the drinking show. So a lot of people were upset with you in particular because I think your highest blood alcohol level was a 0.01.
Yeah.
So you were just sipping.
Yes.
You were sipping throughout the show.
For a reason.
I had a little strategy because I knew, I told you that I had to go see Santa. I had a lot of stuff on the docket. Ultimately, the Caps game, Kelsey's home from L.A.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it was going to be a big day. So I drank a lot early, and I blew the 0.11, and then I tapered down. And by the end of the show, I was 0.083, and then after the show, got some food, was hanging out with Drab a little bit, and Mike Marr, that guy loved everything about Thursday and Friday.
Yeah.
Loved everything about it. But I had to go see Santa at the mall and buy some stuff.
Yeah. For Friday night into Saturday? Okay, different story, but we didn't.
Went to the Caps game Friday night, and they pulled out the win. Lindgren had an incredible, they called it like a cartwheel save. But that was a big win. Then they won again because they had lost two in a row. It was concerning, but bigger picture, they're 23-8-2. And if my math is right, I might be one or two off. I just went back and looked at it. Are they 10-6 without Ovi? Like, we wondered, how are they going to play without Ovi? So, Ovi played in 18 games.
Mm-hmm.
In those 18 games, he had 15 goals. He was on fire. And so, we just wanted them to basically tread water without Ovi. They've actually played good hockey without him.
Whatever they're doing, these parts that they added in the offseason and traded for, and Verana scored in back-to-back games.
Yep.
Like, he was pretty much, you know, invisible. The last few weeks, he comes in, he scored in the Carolina game when
yep,
you saw.
He's so fast.
And he scored yesterday against Chicago. They've got the fewest amount of regulation losses in the league, the entire league. They've got 8 regulation losses. I believe that's the fewest amount in the league. They've got 22 wins. They're just having an unbelievable year. Hopefully it continues.
And they'll get Ovi back soon, so yep. They should get stronger. So that is very encouraging. That the Capitals get 2 wins over the weekend on Friday, and then, of course, yesterday. I didn't watch much of the college football playoffs
mm-hmm.
because I think I had like 4 parties on Saturday. Like, everybody's got Christmas parties and taking my kid around everywhere. But I was just checking in with the game and the games, and same thing happened on Friday night.
Yep.
Every one of these games is a blowout, college football playoffs.
They were all
duds. Nothing's close.
All 4 of them were blowouts. All the home teams won by, you know, comfortable margins.
Did they expand the playoffs too much? Well, they jumped from 4 way to 12.
I'll say this. The weather was certainly a factor, in my opinion, in the SMU-Penn State game and in the Tennessee-Ohio State game. Okay, SMU was clearly uncomfortable from the start. Now, their first drive, they went down the field, but Kevin Jennings, their quarterback, looked uncomfortable when he was rolling out. He could have run for
a... Did he throw a pick six?
Not on this play.
Okay.
He was rolling out. He could have run for about a yard for the first down, would have put him in first and goal. He throws a ball behind the receiver. Guy was wide open, throws it behind him, and they end up kicking a field goal. But he was miserable because he was doing an interview with the game day guys before the game. You could tell he was not comfortable with that weather. Okay. That was a blowout. Penn State was, and also that's 100,000 people in that stadium. Beaver Stadium was electric, but it was snowing hard in the morning when they got up and got out of their hotel to go to the stadium. It was just a different environment for them. And Tennessee, they just didn't look comfortable at all from the start. And it's 14-0 like that. Finally, 21-0, that game was over. Nico did not look comfortable. So I thought the weather was a factor in those two games. Clemson, Texas. Texas was just bigger, stronger, faster in the trenches.
Notre Dame was better against Clemson, Indiana.
Well, Clemson, also sticking with that game, Clemson's best running back is Phil Maffa. He had two carries because he's got a shoulder problem. You take him out of the game, they're one-dimensional, they were done. And Notre Dame was just better at every position than Indiana. So
yeah.
Now it gets more interesting because you've got better matchups. The weather won't be a factor. They'll be at neutral fields. You're going to see some good games in the quarterfinals.
I saw the head coach of Indiana talking some smack.
Well, that's what he does.
Before the game.
That's what he does.
And he said, we don't just beat top 25 teams. What did he say? We kill them?
We hammer them?
Something like that.
Well, they didn't play many top 25 teams. But the quarterfinals will be interesting because, like I said, you've got better matchups, better quarterbacks, and they'll be at neutral fields. Weather won't be a factor. But it was fun. I mean, even though there were blowouts, I enjoyed watching the home stadium environment. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, I just wonder if maybe they should have jumped from 4 to 8 instead of 4 to 12.
I don't mind it. I mean, more games are cool with me. And you know what? They might not go from 14 to 16. They might go to 14 to 18. Eventually might go to 20. Who knows? They're going to expand it even more at some point.
Yeah, but you cheapen the regular season by adding more teams to the playoff. The regular season means less because teams like SMU can lose and still get in, or whoever, your 8 to 12 teams.
I mean, those regular season games were huge down the stretch.
Would you have been a proponent of, like, what would be your perfect number for the playoff?
No, I'm on an island. I'm a BCS guy.
You like the 4.
No. I like one and two.
Oh.
I like the computers. I like bowl games. I like all that. But, I'll watch them. You put them on. But it just disappoints me when Saturdays don't mean as much in October and November.
I think they mean just as much. I disagree with you because...
Yeah, but really it only meant something maybe for like Alabama and Miami and a couple of the teams that were fighting to get in.
Let me tell you why. Because the teams that are fighting to get into the conference championships, those regular season games are huge because the winner of the conference championships gets an automatic berth. So those regular season games and those Power Four, they meant something down the stretch.
Anyway, kind of a dud last weekend, but then you should have some big-time matchups like Notre Dame, who advances. They'll play Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Penn State will take on Boise State.
Yep.
Ohio State, Oregon, and Texas, Arizona State. So that will be your quarterfinals of the college football
playoffs.
Now,
you're going to have to wait until New Year's Eve to see one of those games because Penn State doesn't play Boise until New Year's Eve, and then the other three games on New Year's Day. So there's kind of a big break.
We talked a little bit about the lack of the running game with Grant Paulson. We want to tackle that next. What can the Commanders do to get the running game beyond Jaden Daniels back on track? 800-636-1067. It's a Victory Monday right here on the Junkies, brought to you by Chenega Miles, a 2024 top workplace. Visit careers with MIOS.com.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.